I just learned Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right. Everything you've earned, doubled. All the cash back from eating at your favorite soup dumpling restaurant, doubled. All the cash back from that trip where you sort of learned to snowboard, also doubled. And the best part, you don't have to do anything ridiculous to get it. Nope. Discover does it automatically. Seriously, though, see terms and check it out for yourself at discover.com/match.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Everybody who's on sauce for not knowing who Jessica Alba is needs to back off and correct themselves.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Aaron Rodgers was like pointing to everyone in the room. He's like, do you know who that is? And I think it was like a joke because the kid didn't know anybody.
Earlier on the show, New York Jets head coach Robert Saleh, senior writer for Sports Illustrated, Chris Mannix. Coming up from Prime Video's The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, actor Kevin Pollak. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We're live on the Roku channel, which is free on every Roku device known to man. How about them apples? Select Samsung Smart TV, also Amazon Fire TV. If you've got the Roku app, we're free there because the Roku channel's on it. And it's free, just like it is on the old internet tubes, the RokuChannel.com. Check us out free every day from 12 to 3 Eastern. And if you missed the first hour with Jets head coach Robert Saleh, or you missed the second hour with Chris Mannix in studio, fresh back from Guadalajara, where he watched Canelo Alvarez light up the night and talking about the NBA playoffs. If you missed any of that, well, guess what? We re-air right away on Channel 210 on the Roku channel, and we re-air all the way all to tomorrow's program live at noon Eastern. There's also our YouTube page. There's the Rich Eisen Show Collection page, which is a video on demand service. Check us out whenever you want there. There's our podcast on demand. You can listen to us through the Cumulus Podcast Network, thanks to our friends at Westwood One, which is also airing us live coast to coast right now on terrestrial radio, Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. Kevin Pollak is here. The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, unfortunately, is done with its run, season 5. On Amazon Prime, on Prime Video, new episodes airing weekly. And, of course, you can catch Prime Video right here on Roku. He's in our green room. So many great stories coming up. Don't you dare move about his filmography. And, of course, one of my favorite shows that I love watching him. And Tony Shalhoub's been on this program. We've talked about it before, and we're going to about talk about it again. Chris Brockman's about to drop a little overreaction Monday on us. DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts is sitting right there where he is. TJ Jefferson in his usual spot. You at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Are you surprised that Chris Mannix said last hour that Jokic being suspended for shoving a fan would be more in line with what he expected than Draymond Green getting suspended for stomping on Sabonis?
A little bit.
But again, he's talking about people in the league office saying they do not care what the circumstances are. You put your hands on a fan, it doesn't matter if he's the governor of the Suns or he's the governor of Arizona or he's got, you know, a Suns jersey on because he's been a season ticket holder for a long time or she has. It doesn't matter. In the league, there's going to be some people saying they got to sit him. And I would say that would be outrageous.
A cooler head, I'm sure, will prevail. But of course, obviously, there's going to be people who are going to bring that up. That's just how it is. They're going to have to go through a bunch of things, right?
Well, he's saying that they're eventually going to land on, some people will land on that you got to sit him. You can't make any exception.
That's not the case.
I hope that that's not the case.
But a fine is a given.
Like,
but what's a fine?
And let's move on.
Yeah, that's what I say.
As you know, my solution is Jokic should be fined. And Ishbia should be forced to sit between Jokic's brother in Denver.
Well, then that's a real...
The Jokic brothers, you need to sit there and sit between them. He's not getting up from his seat.
No,
there.
He's going to pee himself, Rich. He won't even go to the bathroom if that's the case.
There's tough and then there's Serbian.
Right?
That's what he said.
That's a penalty in itself happening to. First of all, you know how big they are? He's going to be sitting like this.
Nope.
There was also a coronation over the weekend in England.
It was.
If you want to
So,
you crown her ass.
So we're going to be later on this hour. We'll give you three sports stars who we feel have been waiting a long time to get crowned. And we'll have our own sports coronation later on after Kevin lights up the studio.
Love it.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial if you want to have a chat with us. But it's a Monday, which means it's time to overreact.
You know.
And thus send things to Chris Brockman for Overreaction Monday.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
All right, Chris, what do you have over there?
Hey, guys.
What up, man?
Not a lot going on in the NFL world.
What are you talking about? The Jets are out and about.
That was last week's news.
What do you mean if it's going on in the NFL world?
Old news.
How's that old news? It's great news.
Well, for you.
Well, focus. This got to be something to overreact.
I'm focused. I mean, I got some things to overreact
great.
To.
What do you got?
All right. Looking at the last year's playoffs and the division winners.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to say four new division winners this year. Four new.
Okay.
If you want to talk this out.
I'm okay with that. So
I had the photos on the screen. I got Ravens, Seahawks, Dolphins, and Lions, I think might be new.
Well,
that would be four.
Well, I mean, to win their divisions you're talking about?
Yeah, so the new last year. No, four different division winners.
Well, so you named the four who's going to win the division.
Well, I put some photos. Jordan was like, "Hey, what do you got for photos for this?" And I was like, "Well, here's four."
So
with a good
Seahawks
chance.
Win the West.
With a good chance.
Lions win the North. The
Ravens
win
the AFC North.
And the South.
And the Dolphins.
Well, the Dolphins winning the
AFC. Fully healthy
okay.
Tua. Their offense operated like none other last year.
All right, let's see. The NFC South, I think, will change hands.
NFC South.
I don't believe the Buccaneers will win this year. Let's put
it
that way.
That, yeah.
The 49ers sitting atop the
West. Who's their quarterback?
The NFC North, the Packers are definitely not winning it this year, I don't think.
Well, the Vikings last year.
The Vikings did, right. The Vikings did. I don't think the Vikings are winning it this year either. Because the Lions are taking over there. Okay.
I should have went higher.
The Chiefs are absolutely winning. I'm not going against the Chiefs.
Yeah, leave that one alone. Yeah.
The Bengals are not losing the AFC South North.
Now you're out on the Ravens?
So I'll say that's an overreaction. Wow. There won't be four new ones. I'll say it's an overreaction. I'm not out on the Ravens. I'm just still in on the Bengals.
Well, that means you're out on somebody.
Okay.
I mean, he's got it.
I say that's an overreaction. I will say six of the eight, rent stays like before. We'll have two new ones. Two new division winners. Two.
Jets?
Like an NFC East, maybe?
Jets?
Yeah, it's like the Jets.
East? Yeah. The East is going to have new?
Yeah. And it won't be the Dolphins. And it won't be the Quick Game. By the way, that's the new name for the Patriots. The New England Quick Games.
Mac was right. It sucked last year.
What else you got over
all
there?
Right. I'm going to keep talking about Anthony Richardson every single week. I love the
guy. You should.
Colts are going to be in the playoffs. Anthony Richardson, Colts, playoffs.
See him
throwing passes.
That's an overreaction.
See him throwing passes over the weekend?
How about this? I don't think the AFC South changes hands. I think Jacksonville wins it. And I don't know if the Colts are going to win enough games to get a playoff spot. That would be wild, by the way.
It would be crazy.
Dude, it would be wild.
They got the firepower.
It would be wild if in this AFC world.
In a world.
With Josh Allen and Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert. In a world with Russell Wilson. In a world with Lamar Jackson and Aaron Rodgers. And Deshaun Watson. In that world, a rookie quarterback makes the playoffs, that's an overreaction. That would be wild. We're all assuming one of those quarterbacks, that, as you know, there's seven quarterbacks are going to make the playoffs. And of the 10 remarkable quarterbacks or with remarkable histories and resumes and expectations in the AFC, three are going to sit. If one of them sits, also... If four of them sit because a rookie is the one that pops through, that would be a stunner. Of all the years to be an AFC rookie quarterback, and there's two in the South. So I think Jacksonville still wins that division, though. What else you got over there, Chris?
One of the best spots, I think, fits in the draft was Zay Flowers going to Baltimore.
Yes.
Said over the weekend that the Ravens offense, quote, fits my style perfectly. I agree. Odell and Zay Flowers, 10 touchdowns each.
You're out of your mind. 10 touchdowns each? Get out of here. Nope. Overreaction.
I might triple down and go 5,000 yards for Lamar.
You really are all in on this? For real? Or you're just doing this because you're overreacting?
What day is it?
Okay. Yeah. Move on. What else you got?
Wow. Not even going to entertain?
10 touchdowns each?
Were you the one just saying how awesome Odell is going to be?
I do believe so, but for a rookie too? And 5,000 yards for Lamar? Even the crazy Baltimore fans, I still need to see this offense. And I, by the way, they should hand it to Dobbins at least 15 times a game.
Well, I go the other way. They should just throw it. Every
no.
They're stacked with the receivers.
So then, great. Spread it out and put Dobbins and have him run up the gut. They're still going to be the Baltimore Ravens, bro.
You got to change your Ravens.
What else?
All right. Did you see what Bruce Arians said over the weekend?
What did he say?
He thinks that Baker Mayfield, better prospect than any first-round quarterback this year. Baker Mayfield's going to have a better 2023 than any rookie quarterback.
Oh, I'd agree with that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
He's been in the league 5 years.
Yeah, but have you seen him play recently?
Dude, Baker Mayfield with Evans and Godwin, I don't know if they'll win the division because I don't know how the rest of the team is going to gel together. But Baker Mayfield with Evans and Godwin should have a better year than Anthony Richardson with Alec Pierce and Pittman, and should have a better rookie year than even Bryce Young with his weaponry and C.J. Stroud with his. Come on, man.
Oh.
Arians is right. Mayfield is coming in, and I know what Mayfield looked like in Cleveland, and he looked like towards the end, and what he looked like in Carolina. I would agree. Bruce Arians, I would agree with him. Yeah. Did you talk about rookie quarterbacks? You can have some rough campaigns, man.
Anthony Richardson's going to the playoffs.
Okay. I heard that earlier in the segment.
All right, Mike, you can switch music. We're gonna switch gears.
There we go.
Switch gears.
Go for it. Mike's on it. He's on it.
I'm just waiting for Mike. You got it, Mike.
He's on it.
Chris Mannix was just here. He's been all in on the Lakers for a very long time. Since the deadline moves. Lakers should be the NBA title favorites.
That's not an overreaction. It ain't an overreaction. It's just not. You know what? I know the way people feel about the Knicks right now.
Kind of down.
Couldn't you say any of these eight teams could go on a run and win it all?
100%.
So? And I know, I'm sure the NBA is loving that. So, why wouldn't the Lakers with LeBron James and Anthony Davis and the way that the rest of this team is playing? Austin Reeves, Rui Hachimura, does he miss a three?
It doesn't appear so.
It doesn't even hit the rim. Straight in.
Like him and Devin Booker.
So why can't this team win it all? This team right now is 6 wins from the NBA Finals. So, and tonight it's going to be lit. Does Jack show up tonight?
I thought Jack would have showed up on Saturday. He was not. It was pretty star-studded.
So it's going to be lit there tonight. I can't wait to watch it tonight, and so are the rest of the country is too. You can't sit here and say the Lakers have no chance to win it, and you're saying the favorites?
Favorites?
Like, even if whoever comes through with the Suns and the Nuggets, come on now. The Lakers can win that series too. So, correct.
Also, I think every series is going 7 games.
Huh. I don't know about that. I am concerned about my Knicks. They're my Knicks now.
You're back.
Well, Jalen Brunson got me back. Yeah. I don't know. And I'm concerned about your Sixers being just too inconsistent, it seems. I
pretty much all depends on James Harden.
It does. So
we don't need 40-point James. You know, all we need is about 18-point James.
40 helps.
It don't hurt.
I mean, with Booker and Durant scoring 80.
Correct.
By the way, Devin Booker. Jeez. We'll talk about that later. But man.
All right, last one. South Florida. They got two teams playing hot right now.
Yes.
Panthers won six in a row.
Yes.
South Florida is going to get at least one championship.
I think that's not a bad choice. I think that's not a bad choice. But I think it'll be on the ice.
Yeah.
If I had to choose one.
I would choose the Panthers are just hot.
They are.
You ride the hot team, ride the hot goalie. That's how it works.
Great hockey talk. That's Overreaction Monday, everybody. Let's take a break, and Kevin Pollak will be joining us in studio. Well done, Christopher. Thank you, as always. Hey, man, an early May Overreaction Monday, it ain't easy.
No.
But you made lemonade, sir, and I appreciate it.
I appreciate you.
So you made lemonade? Okay. Chicken salad?
I made chicken salad.
Very good. Yeah. Kevin Pollak is joining us next. Let's talk about sleep, people. No matter who you are, you want to reach your full potential. And every person and every night are different. When you sleep on a Sleep Number smart bed, though, you are finally harnessing your unique potential every night, no matter what each night brings. Next level people like you need next level sleep. My Sleep Number setting is 60, and my wife's is 70. Just 10 numbers apart, but that is the world of difference because we can choose our ideal comfort and support on our side of the bed and change it whenever we like, and it helps us sleep so comfortably. You can see how well you slept, too, the next day, along with personalized insights for even better sleep with your Sleep IQ score. Sleep next level. Unlock your unique potential with a smart bed that can perform as well as you. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed, plus special financing for a limited time. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com. See store for details. I just learned Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right. Everything you've earned, doubled. All the cash back from eating at your favorite soup dumpling restaurant. Doubled. All the cash back from that trip where you sort of learned to snowboard. Also doubled. And the best part, you don't have to do anything ridiculous to get it. Nope. Discover does it automatically. Seriously, though, see terms and check it out for yourself at discover.com/match. Back here on the Roku channel live stream, the radio audience will rejoin us shortly. It is my pleasure to introduce once again from Prime Videos, the marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which you can catch right here on Roku. None other than the great Kevin Pollak back here on the program. How are you doing, Kevin?
Thank you,
sir.
Great to be back. Please be seated. It's always a pleasure.
Round of applause.
Yeah, yeah.
Kevin Pollak, everybody.
I love this show. Can I just start there?
I love your show, too, brother.
Sure.
Your show is amazing.
Well, thank you. There's a lot of brilliant people involved. It really is soup to nuts, savants every which way you look.
I'm watching this show in the same way I'm currently watching Succession, which is I'm enjoying every episode, but then lamenting that's one fewer episode that's left.
Yeah.
Every time.
I'm having that experience with Succession where I'm instantly rewatching every episode.
Yes.
Like a day or two later.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, we had different showings, airings the last couple of seasons. We used to drop them all the first 3 years.
And
then season four, they did 2, 2, 2, and 2. And then this year...
It was two and then ones ever since, right? They dropped the first two.
Three and
first
then
three.
Six in
okay.
a row. Yeah. So I don't know.
Right.
Is there a way to do this anymore?
I don't know. Whatever it is, it's working.
Yeah, because here's
fantastic.
My favorite conversation with someone who's an alleged fan of the show. Not cut up waiting. Sorry? Yep. I like to have all the episodes drop. Okay. I didn't ask what your viewing pleasure or preferences are. Why are you yelling at me?
That's right. All those things.
If you like your hammers in a day and a half, the show is free waiting for you. You know, watch it when you feel like it.
It's the fifth and final season of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, now streaming on Prime Video. New episodes weekly, and of course you can catch it right here on Roku. Back here with our radio audience, the great Kevin Pollak from The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is here on The Rich Eisen Show. And brother, I'll tell you again, I love your show. This show is really, it's beautiful, it's funny.
Yeah.
Your character has gone through quite a bit.
Yes, he
and,
has.
I think I told you, I don't know, because we were texting each other when when your character Moish was sick in the hospital,
hospitalized,
and there was just a beautiful scene that involved you. I was crying
at Tony Shalhoub. Yeah, I was crying while he was doing his half of that scene,
where he was pouring his heart out.
He's reading an obituary. Yeah, that he wrote in preparation. And Tony is my, well, first of all, his character on the show makes me laugh harder than anyone because of his performance and articulation with gestures. The combination just puts me out. But sitting in that hospital bed while he's doing that scene, I was crying. I can't cry on camera. I'm not really a trained actor. But yeah, I was in big trouble when he was reading the obit.
And, you know, do you have a favorite episode from the five-year history of whether it involves you or it doesn't involve you?
Probably doesn't involve me. I've got to have a better answer than these hemming and hawing.
No, it's okay. Because it is just, you know, obviously you're asking somebody who's involved in a show where it every episode is a home run. I mean, it is a home run every episode. There's not a drop. There's not a single.
Yeah, if I had to pick like a favorite episode from each season, maybe that would be easier. But I do have also a bias and selfish view of some of this, because this would be the favorite episode that I enjoyed doing.
Okay.
As opposed to watching. I get very few scenes where it was just myself and Rachel Brosnahan. So there were a couple episodes where she and I had a scene where our two characters were together. And then any scene where we are together as a group, which is also rare. Once a season, maybe there's a holiday dinner.
And we're showing a photograph here recently.
Yeah.
I think this was two episodes ago where you're watching
the wedding of of the Weissman's housekeeper.
Right. And how she, in the middle of getting married, it's apparent that she's about to quit the family. And that they went from celebrating her nuptials to now being freaked out that they're losing their housekeeper.
Yeah.
It was laugh out loud hilarious.
Yeah.
Laugh out loud hilarious.
Well, that's just it. These scripts week after week would kind of astonish us. You know, because how do you maintain, let alone do better? And yeah, it always starts on the page. And so every table read was like a celebration, you know. Every aspect of the show, you mentioned sort of the department heads of the person in charge of the look and the texture. The costume designer would build our clothing, which is also quite rare, unless you're Game of Thrones, you know, that because there's these warehouses
sure.
with period clothing.
Yes,
and that was not the case. She built all of our suits.
It's amazing.
Dresses,
it's just great. The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel again, fifth and final season here on the Rich Eisen Show with Kevin Pollak and Tony Shalhoub. If I'm not mistaken, from his time here on this show, he's a Packer fan. He 49er.
Yeah, we have our trouble usually in September. We'll have a very serious heart-to-heart.
Yes.
He does love Brock Purdy, so we got along well.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah,
You share a love of Purdy.
Yeah. Once his team was struggling, he made it clear that he was... I mean, who didn't love Brock, really, honestly?
That was truly one
You're
of the most...
just a pure fan of storytelling.
The fact that this last season with the Niners was insane at the quarter. It was like the drummer from Spinal Tap, right?
Yeah. Where
it just one imploded after another.
Yeah.
And the kid that they understandably didn't want to go into the season as the backup to Trey Lance because he was the last pick in the draft. So they had to keep Garoppolo.
Yeah.
That Garoppolo was in fact employed because Lance got hurt, and then he got hurt, and they had no choice but to go to the guy.
And they pulled him from, he was in the road company of a Doogie Howser run as the lead.
Yes, Sanford Doogie Howser QB would be the show. And just unbelievable.
Yeah.
He was truly remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, you want him to do okay. Just you know, don't embarrass the boat.
But you think he should be the guy this fall, correct?
Well, I don't think there's any choice. I don't think there's any choice. I think it's about as clear as anyone's vision can be. And I think he thankfully is so young and resilient that it was the right kind of non-surgery.
Right.
That allows him to be a youthful, resilient
and be back in
athlete.
Time for the season.
And he certainly suggested during his time with the team that he was a tough son of a bitch.
Yeah.
You know, honestly and truly. So, yeah, he the moment he can start, he will. And he will regain footing and confidence. I'm going to go on a tiny limb.
Please do so, Kevin Pollak.
In the first set of downs.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you think he will be back, and I think he'll be the starting quarterback of the team this year as well. But they got Darnold, and then they have Trey Lance still. And so many teams, it's so rare that a team could choose a player as high in the draft as they did.
Sure, and give away the world. But let me say this. Trey had every opportunity that Brock had to prove himself and didn't.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
One has to argue.
No, I understand that.
He got injured twice.
No, but he also, Purdy, in just one game, looked like the guy.
He
did come in and just to the point where my son asked me as we were just lying there at Coop as he was getting ready to go to sleep, and he asked if it was possible for Purdy to still be Rookie of the Year despite playing such a few amount of games.
Oh, wow.
And this is just after his first go-round.
Yeah, he came in.
Beat Brady.
Yeah, at first start.
Right.
Ran for a touchdown. I mean, he really was, he was everything in that game. You went, oh, okay. So this is the thing.
That's the guy.
He's still weeks away from throwing a football, though.
So am I. It's May.
Kevin Pollak, by the way, will you be the fourth stringer, do you think, this year? That would be great.
I suit up every game.
You, Kevin Pollak?
Who's going to do it? You?
You?
The Jew? Yeah.
Kevin Pollak here on the Rich Eisen Show. Today would have been Don Rickles' 97th birthday. What was it like on the set of Casino?
The absolute joy. What was my favorite part? I mean, you think that being in a Scorsese film, Nick Pileggi wrote the script, he wrote Goodfellas. You got De Niro and Pesci and Sharon Stone arguably doing the best work of her career. Jimmy Woods before he became a lunatic. You know, and my favorite part is just hanging out with Don Rickles, for sure. And he told me right from the get, he knew that he owned De Niro. He had found out that when De Niro was a kid, there were the groups on the corner. Either they would sing songs, doo-wop, little gathering, or put down group, your mother this, your mother that. And Demir De Niro was in one of the put-down groups. And Rickles was their god, period. So Rickles was told this and is retelling me in a way to say, so I own this guy.
He would say that to you on the set of Casino?
Well, we clung to each other like the only Jew comics within 100 yards. Yes. By the way, I was stuck there the way Marty, you never get comfortable saying that.
Yes.
Shoots. I'm in the movie 9 minutes, but I was asked, you have to stay here. He may change his mind every morning what he wants to shoot.
Yes.
20 weeks. I'm in Vegas.
That was a 20-week shoot for
you?
So
I call the stand-up agent of many years, shout out to Rich Super, and I say, you got to book me opening up for somebody on the Strip. I'm stuck here. So he got me at Desert Inn opening up for the Four Tops. Fantastic.
Are you serious?
Wow. Crazy excited.
Because the Desert Inn has heart, as
yes,
you know.
Yes, it does. The Desert Inn has heart. The Desert Inn has heart. Sings it three times. I go into the makeup truck after my name's on the marquee on the Strip, and Rickles is sitting there, and he goes, hey, saw your name on the marquee. Oh, great gig. Nice gig. I'm opening up for Frank all summer. Let me know if you want tickets. Yeah. So that was every day. Every day. And he would go after De Niro in the middle of a take.
Well, I've seen video of that where De Niro like didn't remember his lines and he got on him for that, right?
Oh, he went after him when De Niro did remember his lines. I mean, he would disrupt the wedding scene. 300 extras. Rickles is just standing next to De Niro doing nothing and he just gets bored. And De Niro is acting,
right,
saying his dialogue, cameras rolling. And Rickles would just rip in him. Is that the way you're going to do it? Like that? No, you got the awards. You know what you're doing. Go ahead. And the rest of us, you know, sphincters tightened. Oh, no. And De Niro,
This guy.
Just howling. Howling. Loved him. Rickles was right. He owned him. He would just, on a, but Pesci did not appreciate it.
No.
Well, oh, no.
What do you got for me
when
there?
Rickles pointed out that Pesci was like a Shetland pony riding around. He was going to ride him around the set like a Shetland pony.
No, he didn't say sure that to Joe did. Pesci.
Yeah. Do you swear on this show? I don't remember.
Not really.
Not
no.
really. Yeah. Yeah. So but, I can't say everything that Pesci said, but suffice to say, he was livid. And rambling to himself, walking to his trailer.
Yeah.
Really? Absolutely. Oh,
so
yeah.
Like he was a character in the movie.
Oh, yeah. Joe, he was just, yeah, you were not one of the two of you. Go fit yourself. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
That Jew, blank, blank.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah. Just.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, like he says so in the funny. Movie, this Jew bastard or something.
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, no, he Joe did not have a sense of humor at all when Rickles went after him. He did not, you know.
Well, I imagine that Rickles then would smell blood in the water and get worse,
double
right?
down, double down, splitting tens.
Did he ever do that?
Yes. Yes.
Did he ever go after Scorsese, too?
Yeah.
He would?
Yeah, because we're shooting a casino with all that fake smoke, but still, it's a lot of smoke.
Yeah.
And Rickles would walk on set the first time he saw him with the little oxygen tank and the mask. Yeah. He didn't tell me the director was dying. Yeah. Throw up a hand, Marty. We'll send a team for you. Throw up a hand if you're really failing. I mean, if you're going to go down, you need to lie out. Yeah, you know, listen, I improvised with Robin Williams on set on stage early in my career, started out in San Francisco where Robin did. And,
yeah.
You know, I improvised with the greats. I've never experienced someone improvising faster and more brilliantly than Rickles. I mean, it's that stream of consciousness where his career sort of started in the little lounge in Vegas where, you know, De Niro or Sinatra saw him and knighted him, and that's how the career started. But it was a guy just working, doing crowd work and just putting down idiots in the audience who were falling asleep at 3 a.m. Hmm. And he just never lost that instant, right from the hip. You just, nothing got past him. And it was, you know, Alan King is also in the movie, and Rickles, I guess,
had a problem
with Alan King name dropping. So I would say something like, hey, I just saw Alan. Yeah, did he mention the Kennedys? Just everything set him off. Everything set him off.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Kevin Pollak here on the Rich Eisen Show. Is it true also from the usual suspects that the scene where you're all in a lineup that you're laughing because...
What would become the poster for the film?
For the poster for the film.
Lineup?
Now, that's the name of the film, the series. Usual suspects. There you are.
You see how serious we are in the police lineup poster.
But and yet the scene...
is a series of outtakes. Because we couldn't stop laughing. We were all supposed to be very stoic as a screw you to the police. We're not impressed you gathered us together.
Yes.
I speak first, and I read it the way it was written in the script that went on to win the Academy Award. Although, I'll say it again. I tell Chris McQuarrie, now directing the Mission Impossible movies, drop the Oscar at my house 1 week out of the year. You got 51, I get one. Okay? Every line that's quoted back to me on the street from this Academy Award-winning screenplay, I improvised, I'm just saying. Pick any of your favorite lines that my character says, and I'll tell you.
Is that right?
It is right.
Okay.
Yeah. When I can put you in Queens on the night of the...
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was written, I live in Queens. And I added, you put that together yourself, Einstein? What, do you got a team of monkeys working around the clock on this? So my point is...
Yeah. You're a factor, as they would say.
Oh, man.
So the scene is a total...
It's all outtakes. We couldn't stop laughing. It was the one day where we all got the giggles, and everyone... Benicio passed wind like 7 takes in a row, which is not easy. You have to pace yourself.
So that literally is why you're laughing?
Oh, no. It was the first time at lunch where the director came to we, the suspects, and said, you guys are screwing me. I got nothing. I can't use a take. And now, well, that was like telling 9-year-olds, don't laugh at the funeral. We came back from lunch and laughed even harder. We couldn't get through it. And I've never been a part of something that you just couldn't ever get your act together.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, he just said, yeah, great, thanks. We'll figure it out. And to their credit, they went to editing and realized, oh, it's an even bigger, we're not impressed to the police by having these guys screwing off,
right,
plus creating an instant camaraderie. It was the greatest happy accident I've ever been involved in.
No kidding.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So that is a true story that so it wasn't Benicio Del Toro, you know.
Passing wind seven takes in a row. It was a series of everyone taking their turn being an idiot.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Baldwin's the next to go after me, and he did something over the top. Did I mention when I met Stephen Baldwin on the film, he was wearing leather pants, and I should qualify, he hadn't arrived on a motorcycle or a horse.
It wasn't functional. It was a choice, is what you're saying.
He looked in the mirror and said, yeah, this is the right outfit. Yep.
Okay. Good to know that.
A wardrobe thing.
Check that one. Check that box.
Yeah, and people ask me if Suspects was lightning in the bottle, and I tell them, you needn't look any further than the fact that Stephen Baldwin's great in the film. He's absolutely great, by the way. And then, you know, watch Biodome right after that.
Kevin Pollak here on the Rich Eisen Show. Last time you were here, you told your perspective of the big scene from that finished A Few Good Men. Obviously, from the Nicholson point of view, do you got a good Tom Cruise story from that point of view, from that huge final scene? Anything that you watched him go through?
Well, I know you've had Rob Reiner on the show. Yes. I thought he was a great guest, and he told great stories about Jack saying, I just love acting, Robbie. Yeah. That classic thing. But we rehearsed on that movie like I haven't before or since, like a play. So they took a soundstage and they put tape on the floor to where everyone would stand and be, and we rehearsed for weeks. And it started with Tom Cruise, Demi Moore, and myself. By the way, this was my being brought up to the majors, this movie. Mm-hmm. I had done a handful of films. I died in Denzel's arms, spoiler alert, on Ricochet. But this was brought up to the majors for sure. And everyone's famous in this movie but me. I'm Where's Waldo in the cast. So while we're at this rehearsal, I am waiting for someone to tap me on their shoulder, I'm not kidding, and say, I'm sorry, we've made a horrible error. We meant Kevin Klein. Can you come with us over here? But minute one, Cruise is treating me like an equal. The moment I arrive, which is just being professional, I suppose, but yes, it wasn't necessary to me.
Right.
But that's what happened. So now a couple of days of rehearsal, and the first thing you realize is Rob Reiner gives what actors call line readings. That is to say, after you've done something, the way a director might articulate what he would like from the actor is to act out the moment themselves. And most actors hate line readings because, whoa, were you saying not like that? I should do it like you're doing it?
Right.
It's just an unspoken agreement that directors should not give line readings. But Rob has always been a great actor. Mm-hmm. So he just gets caught up in the emotion of what he's describing in the scene, and he starts acting out the moments. And so it's a learning curve for Tom, to me, and I those first couple of days. Oh, he's not saying, stop doing it your way, you're horrible. This is the only way he knows to articulate.
Yes.
And he's very passionate when doing it. So you kind of get caught up in it, and it's kind of inspiring and wonderful. But we did get used to it. So then Jack Nicholson joins us to rehearse that soliloquy on the stand where Tom, to me, and I are already used to this. But we know what's coming. So we see Jack Nicholson act out the soliloquy on the stand for the first time in this rehearsal setting. And he is letter perfect. It's redonkulous. He's 92% of what we're going to see in the film. And we're waiting for him to finish, like anticipating, oh, here it comes. And so Rob says, that was great. That was incredible. Oh, my God, Jack, I can't believe. I mean, I knew you were going to be great, but that was even better. I don't even, you know, the thing where you say about the. And now, if you had a camera looking down from the rafters of the five people gathered, you would see Rob hovering over Jack, who's seated in a chair. And you would see a straight line standing of Tom, Demi, and I as we each all stepped back in unison 2 feet while Rob is giving line readings to Jack. And he finishes acting out because he can't stop. And Rob ends up doing like the whole second half of the soliloquy. And Jack's just staring at him the whole time. And Rob finishes and Jack says, yes, well, I guess I'm not there yet. And, you know, thankfully, everyone burst out laughing because it could have gone awkward really fast.
Yeah.
And also, that was just a cool way of saying, Thanks.
I'll take the notes. You know, I'm
thanks. You know, I don't remember asking what you thought, sort of thing.
Wow.
Yeah. But also, Jack was the goofball. I expected someone that cool to be aloof. You'd have to talk about him, not to him. I had a tough time, even though we're technically co-stars. Just saying hello, I thought, this guy doesn't want to suffer fools. He doesn't care about small talk. Even in the makeup trailer, first thing in the morning, you walk in, you know, there's 8 barber chairs lined up. You get into one of them, they make you look better. I'd go in there, I'd see Jack's already in his chair. I'd go to the far end, get away from him, give him his space. Kiefer Sutherland's in the film, a few scenes. He had no problem walking right up to Jack. Hey, Jack, how you going? You want to get a beer after work? And I was just, how? And, you know, in Jack's reg, that sounds great, Keith. What time do you suppose that ought to be? And he just made it so easy that I thought, why can't I talk to this guy? Did I tell you the story when word hits the set that Magic Johnson is HIV positive?
No.
That happened while we were shooting.
On A Few Good Men?
And so, you know, that was for the heterosexual community, an H-bomb going off. It was no longer their problem. It was our problem. That's the way heterosexuals. This was a high-profile family man, very famous.
Yes.
And every person who had written it off as not our concern was instantly walking zombie.
I'm sure Jack knew him personally.
And so I see all day long people going up to Jack from the crew. What does this mean?
Mm-hmm.
What does this mean? People just wanted answers.
Yeah.
What does this mean to me and my family? And he, of course, would talk to everybody. So later in the afternoon, I'm walking from set back to my trailer on a break of some sort. And I hear somebody mumbling behind me. And I turn back and it's Jack. And he's like 3 feet away. It's surreal. It's just surreal. The whole damn thing is surreal. And again, I'm not going to engage. Just let him have his moment.
Yeah.
He gets to his trailer. He puts his hand on the door. And he stops. And he turns to me. And he says, you want to know surreal? And of course, I'm thinking, I'm sorry, Jack Nicholson. Did you just ask me if I wanted to know what you think is surreal?
Yeah, right.
I pull up a chair. And he says, I'm doing this picture, Chinatown. I'm sorry, Jack Nicholson. Did you just start a story with, I'm doing this picture, Chinatown, and I'm rehearsing this scene with John Huston. And you have to understand, the man was like an idol of mine. He was a surrogate father. I worshipped the ground he walked on. He meant more to me than my own family. And while we're rehearsing this scene, I see over his shoulder, about 50 yards away, his daughter, Angelica, walking towards the set to visit. And I had just started banging her about 3 weeks before.
Oh, my God.
And so I realized I hadn't told the old man yet. And I didn't know how to break it to him. I didn't want to upset him. I didn't want him to be angry with me. I didn't want to disappoint him. I would have killed her if that's what he wanted. And I'm thinking all these things as we're rehearsing the scene, and I come out of those thoughts and get back into the rehearsal at the exact moment that his character says to mine, Mr. Giddish, are you sleeping with my daughter? Now that's surreal. And he turns on a dime, and he walks into his trailer, and I'm standing in a parking lot thinking and saying out loud, did anybody else see that? What? What? The absolute hell just happened.
What?
You so badly needed to share that story that I got. We've barely spoken to each other. You lay that at my feet and then just stroll into your trailer and shut the door? Jack Nicholson?
You can't handle the truth. Fantastic.
Did you immediately tell someone that?
Yes, of course. Yeah, I didn't tell it publicly for probably almost 20 years. And this is the first broadcast I've told it.
Well, I will never watch Chinatown the same way again.
Not that scene, anyways.
The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, now streaming on Prime Video, the fifth and final season of this remarkable show. Kevin Pollak, you are the best, man. Thanks for coming on here.
Quid pro quo, by the way.
Yes, sir.
This is a news flash.
Yes.
Dropping on your show.
Is the chat show coming back?
Close.
Okay.
My Mrs. Maisel pod.
Oh.
And you'll have to be a guest.
Please.
Yeah.
Anytime.
It won't drop till after the show runs sometime in June, but I'll let you know.
Anytime.
Yeah.
Anytime. You'd let me know. I would be thrilled to be there. At Kevin Pollak on Twitter, at Kevin Pollak 123 on Instagram. Everybody check out the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Prime Video, available right here on Roku. Fantastic. Men, do you get distracted during the day thinking about your underarms sweating, itching, or emitting an odor? Do those thoughts keep you from showing care when it counts? New and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant with 72-hour sweat and odor protection and one-quarter moisturizing cream helps you forget about your underarms so you can be present for the moments that matter. Don't let underarm insecurities keep you at arm's distance from the ones you care about. Buy new and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant wherever personal care products are sold.
The boys of summer are playing on the Believe podcasts.
The product of baseball is much more watchable.
Get your baseball fix from podcasts like Wake and Rake, Farm to Show, and Ring the Bell.
He's not really hitting balls through the screws.
Plus, local podcasts like Believe in Astros and Believe in the Bronx.
You're going to have to get some more innings out of the rotation.
Just search BLEAV podcast wherever you listen.
A Few Good Men, casting Jack Nicholson in that role and watching him do his thing. We've had Kevin Bacon, Noah Wiley on this show talk about that, the big scene, obviously.
Yes, you can't handle the truth.
Right. Yeah. Well, and we've heard it from their perspective of watching an actor. You're an actor and director. Right. What was that like from your perspective?
Well, it was interesting because, we have a big courtroom and, Jack has this long, long monologue. And I said to him before, I said, look, I'll give you a choice. Either I can shoot, if you want to shoot ready now, I'll shoot you right now. If you want some time to work on it, rehearse it, I will shoot all the reaction shots first, and then we turn the camera around on you and, whatever. He said, why don't you, shoot the reaction shots, and that will give me a... So, I got Tom Cruise cut away, Demi Moore, Kevin Bacon, I got Kevin Pollak. I mean, the judge, the jury, I'm doing all the reaction shots. And every time he's off camera, he gives exactly the same performance that you see that's on camera. After two or three, I go up to him and I said, Jack, maybe you want to save a little because, he's full out in every one and he's off camera. And he says, Rob, you don't understand. I love to act. He says, I don't get that much of a chance to do a great part. And then we turned the camera around on him, and it was the same.
Nailed it each time.
Every time.
That's from our show from back in the day. That's what Kevin Pollak just referred to.
Man, that was
hilarious. I'm not there yet. God, jeez. Oh.
Wow. If you missed that interview, people, that was awesome.
Check it all out on the Rich Eisen Show collection page or our YouTube, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Fun stuff with Kevin Pollak right there. The Rich Eisen Show Radio Network has rejoined our Roku live stream, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. That the interview went long, so we'll have to save our coronation segment for tomorrow.
It was worth it.
That was worth it.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, he's an A-grade, A-plus grade storyteller, yep. Kevin Pollak.
That was incredible.
I wanted to ask him about Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Improvising with Robin Williams?
That must have been tough.
In San Francisco back in the day?
Exactly.
Come on.
And then he said he had a good John Hamm story that we didn't get to either.
He's got good.
Let's get him back next month.
Anytime. Tomorrow. Anytime. You nervous about your Metropolitans, your New York Mets? What's going on?
I am, but I guess it's a long season, so I'm not going to start flipping out.
It's
right
funny.
Now.
Last year, it was all about, you know, could it be a Subway Series, Yankees Mets? Mets have lost 11 of 14. Yanks had a chance to sweep the Rays this weekend and just stepped all over themselves.
I think we're just at the point, guys, where the writing's on the wall. Tampa's winning this, and everyone else is just playing for second.
Tampa was very beatable.
Yeah.
The Yankees are putting a Triple-A team on the field right now.
Yeah, but you know how sometimes you just get feelings?
Yankees came back twice on them, you know? And they almost, I don't know, Judge returns tomorrow.
Only three teams have scored 200 runs this year. So.
The Rays and who else?
Texas and Boston.
Okay. All right. We'll see what happens. I'm just, you know.
The AL East is so stacked.
It's not like the Yankees are 15 games under 500.
No, you're one game over.
I know. That's last place.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Because the Orioles are good.
Orioles were real good.
Orioles, last year's finish, they have taken into this year. They're pretty good. So, I mean, the Rays are the best team. And the Pirates, remember the Rays-Pirates World Series you were talking about? They've fallen off.
Yeah. They're still in first place.
Yeah.
But they've lost a handful in a row.
Yeah, they've lost seven straight.
Actually. Seven straight right now.
They were 20-8.
I'm rooting for them, man. Pittsburgh deserves that.
And they're doing it without one of their best players.
Yeah. And you said he's going to make it back, which we didn't. O'Neal
Cruz. He should be back in August.
Didn't think there was a chance of that happening when he broke his ankle.
Yeah. Mets are bad.
What happens tonight?
I like how you slipped that in there.
extender. Knicks and Warriors tonight.
Come on, man. I don't know. I think the Heat take this game and make it a difficult run of it.
I think Randall's back. I think Randall's back.
Let's hope so. I'd love to see that go 7-2.
I'd like to see them all go 7.
Yeah.
Not yours.
That's totally true.
You'd like to go to Philadelphia and end it in 6.
I would. Like I've been saying all year, we just do dumb things. Like Harden's got 40. Why are you doubling off of him for a corner three?
So
because the MVP is in the paint, though.
Everyone knows.
Yeah, then that ties the game.
If you don't know, at Chris Brockman tonight. When? Not if.
When?
When?
Anthony Davis
has two fouls.
Two fouls in the first quarter, and Warriors win by 12.
That's what happens tonight.
Yeah.
So what happens in Miami then, Nostradamus? What happens?
Again, I think the Knicks win. It's good for business. Seven games.
Chris, what if the fouls are legitimate, obvious fouls?
I'm just telling you what's going to happen.
His point is that a foul could be called on every possession. That's his point.
Yes, it's just like the NFL.
It's whether you do it or you don't.
It's whether it gets whistled or not.
So that's his point. But again, Scott Foster is just a vessel into which he can funnel any conspiracy theory he wants.
I need to order an NBA
whether you know
the Foster conspiracy.
It just depends on who the league decides is more important to make the finals while they're deciding on what to do about Jokic and Matt Ishbia. It's a very busy day for the association. Very busy day.
You love Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now get to know her on Give Them Lala.
With her assistant, Jess.
What you did not see is when Raquel arrives and she wants to talk to me, I made her sit in a corner.
Explain.
Sat in a corner booth all by herself in the dark.
Waiting for to talk to you.
Waiting for me to finish dancing to 50 Cent.
It's my birthday.
Sit in a corner.
Give Them Lala wherever you listen.